Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozugos.
Shigoku ka no shisha, Spider-Man!
You did that one already.
Oh shit.
How do you even remember?
Spider-String! Sorry, what was that?
You just shocked at Ace. It's like, oh, you already did that. I'm like, wait. You remember which one's going to say?
I do. We've been off for little bits because of COVID and the temperature in this godforsaken country. But we are back, and in this episode, we're here to talk about Angel's Feather, a two-part OVA from 2006. I chose this one because we haven't done a visual novel adaptation yet, and if you thought there were lots of fighting game anime, you'll be shocked at how many of it is visual novels.
After this, I'm not sure I actually want to go watch any more visual novel ones.
Angel's Feather was produced by Venet, the studio behind seven other things, none of which appear well known. So I didn't bother writing their names down. Angel's Feather has a My Anime List score of 5.44. For those of you who aren't aware, which is probably most people,
everyone,
because if you look up this game on YouTube, there's like four videos. Angel's Feather is a visual novel RPG released on the PC and PS2, then re-released on PS2. Like a year later, for some reason. It was developed by Blue Impact, who also released a game called Working Days. That's the most well-known out of their titles.
Classic.
As far as niche things go, this is our most unknown adaptation yet. Did either of you look at any of these four videos, two of which are like 20 seconds long?
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally. I tried to find the game, but I couldn't find it. See, I looked on Steam and I was like, is this on Steam? And then I didn't find it, and I kind of forgot Google existed.
No, there's like one long play, and because it didn't get an English translation and hasn't had an English fan translation, nobody in English has bothered to play it. So it's like turn-based fighting and heavily visual novel stuff.
Fighting?
Yep, yep. Like turn-based Final Fantasy styles type things.
I looked at the... So I was like, okay, I don't want to go super uninformed into this anime. So I went and I was like, Angel's Feather, what is this? And when I saw what it was, I was like, oh, it's a visual novel. Good, great. And then the fighting started. I'm like, did I read that wrong?
So no summary from me this week. Artura, what's your summary?
Angel's Feather is what happens when the producers for an anime are testing the question, how many times can we make the audience say what the hell is happening?
Of course.
It's boys love. If your house is haunted, turn up the volume and you'll be free of ghosts as well as all your family and friends by the end of the podcast. Boy likes boy, but the boy likes boy. Oh no, he didn't. So boy and boy must fight. And then everyone... has wings and fights werewolves.
Okay, yeah, that's the end of the podcast. Okay, so Angel's Feather. We open on someone having a flashback to when they were a kid as they drown in a body of water, but there's no time for that because we get another flashback to before they became submerged, where it was raining. And some guy we'll identify later as Sho appears to have rescued a dog from other dogs, maybe? The dog doesn't really play into things, you find out later. It appears in one more scene and is never seen again.
Because there's no dogs in that world, really, just boys and werewolves.
Perhaps it was a werewolf. Then we get the credits with a fairly generic, upbeat anime opening. It didn't really impress me.
From here on, whenever they have an opening, I want you to rate them from 1 to 10. Because you're always listening to them and you're always like, oh, I really like this one. It's so unique. And you're like, this one didn't impress me. So I'm officially curious, 1 to 10, how much do you rate?
Like a 3?
Okay, good.
Things start on a CGI book with the title The Winfield Kingdom Chronicle before our narrator begins talking. Tells us about this kingdom of... Winfield and how the king has wings, and then the book closes. Cuts to modern-day Japan and the Misono Combine, where we're introduced to Chris and Kai. Kai is talking on the phone about office work as he gets dressed for class. Kai then leaves the room as Chris awakens, and Kyohei and another guy meet up outside the room before rushing off to class. Not that they don't go there to meet up with him, they just, hey, we're meeting up in front of your room for some reason. Kai has an inner monologue about himself and how he was adopted and is now the representative chairman of the Misono Combine, while others gaze longingly at him in the background. We find out the school is the Yusei Academy, where everyone has to sleep in dormitories, which Kai is annoyed about, and he laments that this meaningless passage of time is taking too long. Like that, that's a direct quote. He says, this meaningless passage of time.
And then I was really concerned for his mental health.
Yeah. Sho, who we met earlier in the alleyway, gets off of a bus and runs up some stairs as the school bell tolls. Another kid, Anri, is late and drops his stuff, where it's immediately stepped on by the two from earlier, who are somehow also late despite running off earlier, like ahead of Kai. But Kai had time to stop for his inner monologue. Time passage in this is not very good. Not very well defined. One of them tries to help, while the other complains that helping is only going to make them late, while Henri, on the floor, continuously says how sorry he is while making no effort to help himself.
I was really annoyed by his voice. I don't know why, but like it was so screechy and so ugly, and I was like, it just made me want to mute it every time he was talking.
Yeah, it was like some grandma voicing him. Maybe.
I'm not going to say you guys are wrong. Sho arrives and threatens to complain her away and becomes Henri's friend before Professor Tudo interrupts, sending them to class and finally introducing us to Sho by name. Sho goes to see the headmaster, and Sho's Professor Ran is also in the room while ominous music plays as both the headmaster and Ran are bathed in shadow. We learn that Sho is skilled in kendo, and acts nothing like Kai, according to the headmaster, but Sho appears to know who Kai is. Professor Ran gropes Sho and sees something shiny, and we find out it's a pendant, a memento of Sho's mother. Professor Ran touches Sho inappropriately again before telling Sho to take care of the pendant for some reason. Like, I just said it's a memento of mother, of course I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah. I was really shocked about the sexual abuse in this anime. I was like, what is happening?
We get a brief scene where we hear that Kai's grades are among the top in the nation, and he gets called to a headmaster's class, the headmaster's office during class. Kai and Sho meet in the hallway outside, and Sho asks, aren't you my little brother? Kai laughs, and Sho insists that he was separated from his twin brother, but Kai says that he wasn't adopted and he isn't a twin, even though he knows that he was adopted because he's mentioned it earlier and he will soon talk about being adopted. Because he wonders to himself, how does Sho know that he was adopted? And then he has an erotic daydream in the hallway in front of Sho.
It took that as a thing that he just doesn't like when people know that he's adopted and he just hides it. I guess it's kind of like to show that he's lonely and he's a secret, even. He's like, I'm not going to tell anyone anything about myself, but that scene was a little weird.
Someone comes down the hallway and asks Sho if he's joining the kendo club. So the pair head over there, while Professor Tudo sees that Kai's having a nervous breakdown over someone knowing he's adopted. The person that came to get Sho is Naoto of the kendo club, who already knows Sho from middle school, and Sho moved and left that school when his adoptive parents were killed in a traffic accident. We cut to later that day where Henri, Kohai, and Sho and the guy from Glasses, who I still hadn't caught the name of, all met on their way to the clubs. But an earthquake hits, plunging Kohai into a crevasse. Sho jumps in after, and there's a dragon-like roar before the rumbling stops. Minutes later, Kohai, Sho and Glasses-kun are attacked by a spider monster boy and a blinding light. When Cho's sight returns, he's in a desert facing a large tower that stretches up past the clouds. Glasses Kun finally receives an aim. It's Yuto, as he collapses next to Cho and Kohai. The spider monster boy attacks from directly in front of them, despite not being there, but Cho fights it with his kendo stick until it webs him up. It attempts to stab Cho with its scorpion tail, but Cho's pendant begins to glow and dissolves the webs. And then he undergoes a transformation, getting wings. Our narrator from earlier returns, telling us that it isn't only the king of Winfield. You remember that, right, from the start?
Yeah, that thing that seemed kind of like unimportant. I was so, don't get me wrong, I remembered the story, but when they mentioned it, I was like, oh, right, that segment.
But it's not only the king who has wings, but all of the men of the royal family. The wings apparently allow Sho to slice the spider monster boy in half with his kendo stick. And with the monster boy defeated, the desert fades back into the cave that they were all previously in, and Sho's wings shrink away while Professor Tudo and Chris watch, because they've just arrived. I didn't spot Chris before this, so presumably he's only just bothered to get out of bed. Like, he wasn't in class, he wasn't above the crevasse before it opened. Anyway, there's a dream slash memory slash daydream, which Sho has while he's in the shower, and he complains to himself about Kai. Meanwhile, outside, Kai is meeting up with Nagi, a character we haven't met until now, and they flirt over a Game Boy. G-Poke.
Sorry, no, that would be breaking the copyright law.
Yes, it's definitely not a Game Boy, it's a G-Poke. I was mistaken.
Are they, like, implying that there's a lot of poking going on around? Because there's only boys.
It's implied that they are romantically interested in each other, yeah.
Just with G-Poke.
They were childhood friends, we find out, and Kai is adamant that he didn't befriend this weird kid Sho, and Nagi is the only friend he needs before they kiss. So, not so much implied that they're romantically interested. They are romantically interested in each other.
The implication ended there.
It was implied until they kissed and then it was confirmed.
I mean, I feel like the G-Poke was proof enough.
That evening, Sho, Naoto, Kohai, and Yuto meet up to hunt ghosts for some reason. Being joined moments later by Chris, who suggests bringing Anri too. Just, yeah, get everyone. Sure, where's Nagi and Kai?
Bring Grandma too. Oh, there's no women, sorry.
They find the kendo hall empty of ghosts, but suddenly Naoto sprouts black wings, claiming to have been reconstructed in order to defeat Sho. Whatever that means, we never find out. Naoto attacks, cracking the floor as Sho dodges, but gets hit by a follow-up attack. And then Naoto takes a break for a moment while Chris tells Anri to play his flute, which heals Sho, because he got slightly
injured. It wasn't his turn to move, don't judge him.
Naoto attacks again, which brings out Sho's wings, which protect him. Chris grabs a kendo sword to join the fight, and gets his own set of wings. But he doesn't really do anything because Sho wins the fight and Naoto flies away. And then Professor Tudo enters and catches Chris as he falls. I think he might have been injured by one of the attacks.
I think he just got tired from, you know, sprouting his own wings.
And Kohai asks if they are all related to the Kingdom of Winfield from this book that he's carrying around.
Nah, that's just a story, you fool.
That's where the episode ends, with poorly mixed song, with music overpowering the lyrics.
Would you rate it 2 out of 10?
If that. There is a post-credit scene with the principal and Ran talking about lifting the curse of the Black Wings. Episode 2 begins with a brief recap, which seems a bit more sensationalized than you'd expect, talking about how unexpected things keep happening, even though it's like two things.
Well, it's told from, you know, the perspective of a child, presumably.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. We see a dream of a tea party with Sho and Kai when they were kids, and we cut to Kai sending a giant spider into a crevasse for some reason and somehow before the opening titles begin. It's the same song and opening images as before. And things open properly on Kai complaining about his special class, which we assume is the Fight Giant Spiders class.
Or molesting class.
Kohai recalls the previous week where everyone else didn't want to answer right away, if they were related to Winfield, and overhears people talking about how Naoto has transferred away. So, like, it's been a week since this kid disappeared, and nobody answered if they were related to Winfield. Sho also hears the news and goes running off to speak to someone about it. I wasn't too sure where he was going, but he's stopped by Ran, who confirms that Naoto is no longer here, and tells Sho and Anri to see the headmaster. The headmaster explains to Sho, Anri, Kai, and Chris that he wants them to find out what happened to Nagi, who went missing while looking for a ghost in an abandoned building. I have no idea what's going on with these ghosts. Why is a student going to this abandoned building? Never answered. The group are attacked upon arrival by werewolves, as Gos mentioned, and they have to fight them off, and Kai just vaporizes some of them with an energy bolt from his hand.
And then he's asked, oh, is that magic? Was that established?
Is that magic? Oh, wait, magic exists in this world?
I was really shocked at the werewolves, and it was at this point that I was like, okay. It was at this point that I was convinced that I wanted to play Angel's Feather. I was like, I need to see how this all plays out in the visual novel, because it's just so wacky.
Well, the abandoned building, which is not a church, turns into some kind of futuristic building, like the crevasse turned into a desert earlier. Kai is trapped safely away from the others before Nagi turns into a black-winged angel like Naoto was, and attacks. Sho's wings come out, but the pair don't fight. Instead, Professor Ran arrives with his own black wings. Ran takes control of Nagi, somehow, forcing him to attack. And during the fight, Kai is freed, but Nagi accidentally attacks him, an attack which does nothing.
I think he, since they're twins, he got confused. I was like, oh, that's Sho, I'm going to kill him.
Nagi dies in Kai's arms, saying that he loves him, and it's very sad.
I think that Nagi, like, does an attack and then wakes up and moves quickly to shield the other guy from the attack. That's what it seemed like to me. It's not very well shown.
There might be a reason that this production company only did 7 things. Ran runs and Kai gets his wings, the result of which...
Well, he flies away. Please don't use the right terminology. He flies really ugly.
Ran flies away from this futuristic building which is inside an abandoned church, not church. The result of Kai getting his wings threatens to shake the futuristic building apart, but Sho now knows for certain that Kai is his brother, so manages to walk over and talk him down, calming his power after a flashback. We don't see them leave the futuristic building. Instead, later, Kohai demands that someone explain to everyone what the hell. Professor Tudo explains about the Kingdom of Winfield and how 20 years ago, people with black wings appeared and assassinated the royal family. Chris is the crown prince, with Sho and Kai being his cousins. Someone mentions Ran, and Kai basically says, you mean Professor Ran, the homeroom teacher? And everyone's aghast, like, oh, what, the guy with the wings who looked like our professor is actually the professor?
Yeah.
Shocking twist.
Kai also knows the headmaster is the commander of the black wings. Somehow. They all decide to go and attack the headmaster to free Winfield somehow. And then the OVA ends. Cue the same badly mixed song.
Did you see the post-credit scene?
Yes, we did get a post-credit scene which shows they have another black-winged guy to attack the good guys.
I'm so excited to watch this scene. Please tell me there was a scene.
No.
Nope, this takes place before the game.
See, I had a feeling. I didn't know at first, but when they started being like, oh, and that's how we got into, like, this adventure, and I was like, oh, so this is a prequel, got it. That wasn't very well established at first, but to be fair, that's...
Right, now, was this a good adaptation?
Well, first off, I feel like we didn't talk about something. We didn't talk about the futuristic keyboard that's made out of pointy crystals pointed up so that you poke your finger every time you push a button.
No, I don't remember seeing that, I'll be quite honest.
It was during the fight scene in the futuristic environment.
Yeah, the keyboard was holding Kai. Mom, it was the key to opening the thing that was holding Kai. It was weird.
It was like a keyboard with each key is a like a crystal, pointy crystal, pointing up. So you poke your finger every time you push it.
Well, are we going to talk about the fact that Henry kind of like grew really tiny wings? Did that make him... Does that make him partly royal, or like what?
He's inbred.
It's because he looked like a girl, because Sho calls him a girl at the start.
Oh, so that's why he has tiny ones, okay.
Because he looks like a girl, and people missed him for a girl, even though he's not a girl. And that's my theory, anyway. Right, well, so was this a good adaptation? I don't think so, because, well... There's barely any fighting, and it's a turn-based RPG slash visual novel. So you need lots of fighting, not just one fight per episode. Well, apart from the werewolves, I suppose. And also, the music was worse than the music from either of the games.
Yeah, but was the music from either of the games bad?
I've posted the opening for both games in the Discord channel, so you can have a quick listen to either of those.
The first one's not too bad.
The anime was terrible. The games was pretty good.
Honestly, it's just, I have no idea what the hell was up. The music was just bad. Honestly, I was just so confused throughout most of the anime. Everything was bad. Everything was weird. But admittedly, it did put across the point that it's a visual novel fighting game. So I guess it was a good enough adaptation in that end, but I just didn't like it.
I couldn't find any footage of fighting. Well, I'm going to say that in a visual novel, you mainly have like still images and text describing everything else. And here they had animation and made it very hard to comprehend. So I'm going to say no.
They have posted Angel's Feather special attacks from Siv Hydron on YouTube.
Thank you, Siv Hydron.
Okay.
Also, it looks like an RPG Maker sort of thing, huh? I mean, don't get me wrong, I know it's not, but... Okay, this is like the longest turn. This he's just picking and picking. I would take forever playing this, are you kidding me? And it's just to kill one little skeleton guy.
Yep. So every episode I ask if you liked it or didn't. So is it a thumbs up, thumbs down, or a meh, Artura?
I was really tempted to give it a meh, but it's a thumbs down for me. It's interesting enough if you want to go and see like the wacky things of the werewolves and be confused about what's happening and get bored 10 minutes into the first 5 minutes of the episode. But afterwards, it's just not worth it. To me, it's thumbs down.
And goes.
Oh, I absolutely loved it. No, I'm kidding. It's thumbs down. Like, I had more fun writing my synopsis than watching this.
Yeah, it's a thumbs down from me too. This was not enjoyable in the least. Not even, oh, it's so bad, it's good. It's just bad, boring, and molesty.
And Sephiroth.
Yeah, those molesting scenes were so uncomfortable.
So, did this deserve its My Anime List score of 5.44?
No.
No, it's too high.
It is, isn't it?
5 is like too much. I can't imagine rating this above like a 3 at most.
Yeah, 5 would be a, yeah, it's an anime.
It's passable. But no.
No, this avoid this, guys. Just listen to this episode again if you ever want to watch it.
We'll save you 30 minutes that you would spend watching this 1 hour OV.
Just listen to my synopsis and be done.
Yeah, just
download. Boy likes boy.
And Tito likes boy.
To clarify, I wrote boy every time. I wrote it a little different, like. Different letters were capital. So I knew I had to read it differently from the last boy.
Okay. Well, next episode, we're going to watch Senran Kagura Estival versus Mizugi Darkara no Zansai.
Hey. I'm really happy to have heard the verses because now we know it's not a visual novel.
Well, Senran Kagura games are like hack and slash Musou Dynasty Warriors type things.
But the anime is going to be a lot of groping big boobs.
Okay, the English title is Senran Kagura Estival versus Festival Eve Full of Swimsuits.
Oh, wow. That's wow. I did not expect that.
I predict there will be no fighting.
Well, then it's not going to be a very good adaptation, is it? But that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, find us on social media, or listen to the Greencast podcast. And until next time, game on.